Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Lisa Shield. Welcome to Dating Without Drama, where I give you my unique take on everything related to men, love, dating, and romantic relationships. My practical yet spiritual approach to getting emotionally naked and attracting what I call a guardian of your soul will be music to your ears. So let's get started. Hi, everybody. I'm Lisa Shield. Thank you so much for joining me. I am so excited to be here after a wonderful, wonderful weekend. It is fall here in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and it's really beautiful. When I was young, I used to love fall. I would jump in my car and skip school, and I would go driving down Wild Horse Creek Road, which was just behind our house. It was a country road. And all the leaves would be changing. It was magical. It was truly, truly magical. All right. Today, I am going to talk about something that I think a lot of you are doing out there when you're dating. You're just going through the motions. You don't have a game plan. You don't really know what you're doing. And you're just going on dates or you're putting yourself online. You start to feel lonely or bored, like right now, holiday season, it's starting up again. And many of you are finding yourselves alone and lonely. And maybe during COVID, you just got offline because you felt like it wasn't going anywhere. You know, COVID was not helping with your dating experience. And so you got offline and you're getting back out there and you're realizing that you may have lost a year or two of your dating life. You haven't been out there. And so you're starting to think, wow, you know, Thanksgiving is coming up and then Christmas is right around the corner and then New Year's. And this is a sobering time for a lot of you. It's a really sobering time. You're sitting and you're thinking, wow, another year is rolling around and I'm alone. And this isn't where I planned on being. Each year, probably on New Year's, you told yourself, this year is going to be the year I find my guy. And it isn't happening. And so you've had to kind of bolster yourself up, psych yourself into putting yourself back online. Maybe you're going to try a new app. Your girlfriend met somebody on Bumble or Tinder, you've never given the dating apps a try, and you're going to put yourself out there and give it another go. But the truth is, your heart may not really be in it. There's this niggling voice in the back of your head saying, you know, it's just going to be the same old thing again. I'm going to get back out there. I'm going to get all optimistic. I'm going to pump myself up and convince myself that this time it's going to be different. But the truth is, in the back of your mind, you know that nothing has changed. Maybe you've done a self-help workshop or you've read a few dating books or, you know, you have watched a bunch of YouTube videos. You've done a whole bunch of journaling or meditating. Those things don't give you tools to date better. Nothing's really changed if you think about it. You're still afraid in the back of your mind. Maybe you still don't understand why you keep picking unavailable men, or you don't understand why nothing seems to change, right? You're not attracting men out in the real world. Nothing really has changed. You read books, you amass knowledge, you try to figure it out. You're going right back out. You think, okay, well, this is a different site. So maybe it's better. You know, maybe Tinder is better than Bumble or better than Match.com. But the truth is, you're still in the same place. Nothing has changed. Nothing. You haven't really gotten to the root of how you got here, why you're still single. And I know it's really hard to sober up about this, but you put yourself out there. And in many ways, you're just going through the motions. Maybe some of you are on the dating sites and you're just getting worn out. You're just going on more and more dates, telling yourself it's a numbers game. And you keep just going on date after date after date, thinking maybe this time, right? Maybe this time I'm going to meet that guy. And each time you go on another date, it's the same thing over and over and over again. I'm just curious how many of you feel that way. How many of you feel like you're just going through the motions? You're putting yourself out there, you're going on dates, you're responding, but your heart's not really in it. You're burned out, you're disappointed, you're frustrated. You feel like Sisyphus. You guys know the story of Sisyphus, who keeps pushing this boulder up a mountain and it just keeps rolling back on top of him. But you feel like you're climbing a mountain and it's like one step forward, three steps back. I know that this is really, you know, it's something that a lot of the women I'm talking to are feeling. They're just going through the motions. They put up a profile, they put up some pictures. They're half-heartedly responding to people. They're not really getting much back. The guys that they're getting responses from are not the right guys. They're much older than they are. Why am I doing this? Why am I telling you all of this? Because there's a solution. There really are ways out of this. And the problem is that so many of you see dating just as a grind. It's like you're on a treadmill or a hamster wheel, and it feels like you're not getting anywhere. So you start and stop and stop and start again. You're not getting anywhere. You're just going through the motions. And here's the thing. If you're feeling that way, that's what you're bringing into your dates. That's what men can pick up on. They can feel your energy. And if there's no spark, there's no fire. There's nothing that's going to happen. It's just going to feel like drudgery. And so you've got to first work on you. You've got to bring a positive attitude to your dating. You've got to bring energy, enthusiasm, positivity. You have to bring this to your dates. You can fake it, but guys are going to pick up on this. So I had a wonderful client. She's now engaged and she was going through the motions in her dating. She had one disappointment after another. She was completely blocked. She was so stubborn. And she'll admit to all of this. She was getting in her own way. And the harder she tried, the harder it felt. She was stuck. I was coaching her through this whole process. In fact, she was in my top tier program. She was working with me and a group of other really highly motivated women. And she was going through the motions. And she said, well, when I go on dates, I don't feel that way. You know, I'm funny, I'm charming, whatever. And I said, men can pick up on this. They really can. They're going to feel your energy, whether you think they can feel it or not. They feel it. They know. Just like you know when a guy is depressed or when he's manipulative or if he's not into you, you pick up on energy just like they do. She didn't believe me. She said, no, I'm a great date and I have fun and I laugh and I'm funny. I said, I don't agree, but whatever. And so sure enough, she met this guy and this guy was so sharp. He turned out to be avoidant, but it was a great lesson for her because he called her bluff. She was being her kind of cute, charming, fun self. And she made a comment to him. He said something about, well, I'm really looking forward to this date. I really, you know, can see that things are good. And she said, well, what if we don't really like each other? And he called her out on it. And he said, you know, he said, wow, you're not very optimistic. Look at you. You're already coming into this with a bad attitude. And she was shocked. And he kept doing this. He would mirror back to her all of these subtle comments that she didn't even know she was making that were expressing her fear. She didn't realize she was doing this, but the truth was she did have a lot of fear. She wasn't optimistic. And even though she was putting on this front, this veneer of being up and cute and whatever and jokey, she's very, very, very funny. And she's especially funny over text. But he called her bluff. And she wrote to me and she said, oh my God, Lisa, I see what you mean. She said, I'm so shocked. I can't even believe that this guy is picking up on all these things. And she said, you know, you were right. I really am blocked and I'm scared. And maybe that is why these guys are not connecting with me, because they're picking up on all of this in these subtle ways that I didn't even know I was communicating this fear. She was so amazing. She finally said, God, you know, I think there's a lot of things I don't know. I need to surrender and really listen and stop thinking that I know all of these things and that I'm so sure of myself. She did a 180. She just cracked open. She got emotionally naked. She started to really open up, and she met Sam shortly after. So this guy was the last sort of imposter. He actually turned out to be avoidant, and he pulled away from her quite quickly once she started to express interest, which was great because she cleared, you know, he cracked her open, and that's when she met Sam. But up until then, without even knowing it, she was really going through the motions. She wasn't really bringing that fire, that passion, that aliveness that she needed to bring. And once she let go of all of her inhibitions and she started to open up and, you know, let down her guard and be real and authentic, that's when Sam was able to find her. And I bet she would have met somebody even a lot sooner. I mean, we're ready when we're ready. She's adorable. She's just such a sweetheart. But she probably would have met someone sooner if she could have gotten out of her own way. And I see this a lot. I had another client years ago who was also kind of going through the motions. You know, she was blocked. She didn't know what was stopping her. She couldn't see clearly. And again, you know, she was going on dates, date after date after date. She had no trouble getting another date. That wasn't her issue. The real issue was she was so critical of guys, she didn't know how to ask for what she needed. That was her issue. I was trying to figure out why she wasn't getting to a second date. Very attractive woman, very, with a string of dates, one guy after another, but she wasn't getting to a second date. And she went out with this really cute British guy. And after the date, we were doing a session. This was back when I still did one-on-one coaching. And I said, how was the date? And she said, oh, it was great. He's darling. You know, he was really cute. I said, were you attracted to him? And she was like, oh, yeah, you know. And I said, well, would you go on? Does he want to go out with you again? And she said, he does. And I was confused because I thought it was the guys who weren't asking her out again. And then I realized she was the one who didn't want to go on second dates. And I said, would you go on a second date with him? And she said, no. And I said, but you're attracted. And, you know, you said he was really lovely. And she said, well, he was. And I said, well, why wouldn't you go on a second date then? And she said, well, he's British. And several times during the date, he corrected my English. And I was really uncomfortable with that. And I said to her, well, did you say anything to him? And she said, no. And I said, well, why not? And she said, well, you know, I don't want to be difficult. We've only been on one date and I don't want to be difficult. And I said to her, well, look, just for the sake of the coaching and all, I said, would you be willing to talk to him? And she said, okay. And we rehearsed how to do that. And then she did it just the way I helped her do this. You know, she didn't make him wrong. She didn't sound, you know, she just went in and she said, look, you know, I really enjoyed our date. I had a wonderful time with you. So positive compliment up front. And then she said, and not but, she said, and, you know, because if she had said but, it would have negated how great she thought the date was. And she said, and there was one thing I wanted to talk to you about. She said, I don't know if you realize this. And so the I don't know if you realize this, she was giving him the benefit of the doubt. And then she said, there were several times on the date where you corrected my English. And I felt uncomfortable. And he looked at her and he said, "Oh my God, did I really do that?" And she said, "Actually, you did." And he said, "That's horrible." He said, "That's really horrible." He said, "Oh my God, I am so sorry. I will never do that again. You know, if I do, let me know, because that's a terrible thing to do. I wasn't even aware that I was doing it." And she said, his response was so sweet that she actually felt closer to him after that, after having had that conversation. And this is a woman who had been going through the motions in her dating, going on one date after another, finding fault, finding something that was upsetting or that she didn't like about all of these guys, and never really expressing the way she was feeling. And this had gone on for not, you know, a short time, but for a long time. She would find something that she didn't like, and then that was it. That was the deal breaker, and she'd move on. And that was a turning point in her dating. After that, she was able to express herself easier. She actually wound up dating this guy for a little while. I think she got a little ahead of herself, and she got so excited, she slept with him right away. And then she realized that she had a very anxious attachment style, so we had to work on that. But she couldn't move forward. And partly why she was pushing all these guys away was that underneath that, she did have an anxious attachment style that she'd never really gotten in touch with, because she just kept walking away and walking away instead of walking towards these guys and through it. Why am I sharing all of this? Why? Because so many of you are going through the motions. You're making mistakes you don't even know you're making. Really big mistakes that are affecting your ability to move forward in your dating and actually start to create heartfelt connections with men. You're pushing them away subtly with your fear, like Rebecca did, or you're afraid to look needy and ask for what you want, so you just keep walking away, like Dawn was. There are all kinds of ways that you may be sabotaging your dating and not even realize it. And here's the problem. You cannot identify these mistakes on your own. It is almost impossible to be able to see these things, because you're so close. You're too close to it. It's like if your hand is right here, you can barely see the lines on your hand. You have to pull your hand way out here so that you can actually see it. With dating, our fears are so right here. We're so afraid. We don't know, because we can't see ourselves objectively. So we don't know how to get out of our own way. And that is where coaching comes in. Your girlfriends can't help you spot these things. You know, they're going to give you cliches. They're going to say to you things like, you got to give more guys a chance, or it's a numbers game, or you're too picky. Whatever they tell you, those aren't answers. They are not qualified coaches. They can talk to you from their own experience. They can even possibly point out some of the mistakes they see you making, but they can't give you a step-by-step solution for solving those problems. They can't hold your hand as you go through the dating experience and actually say, okay, this is how you ask for what you want, right? This is how you whatever. They don't know how to give you an actual prescription. They can even help diagnose you, but they don't have the prescription for how to get through that. When my women work with me, I offer I have several different programs, but my initial program is a 12-week dating course. 12 weeks. That's a life-changing experience. Life-changing. I had a woman this morning, I'll share if I can find her message to me. She sent me the most beautiful message. She's in the third week of my course, which is pivotal. In the third week, my clients start to put the pieces of their past together. So when you're dating, this is something your girlfriends and your mother cannot help you with, right? So when you're dating, you cannot move forward until you make sense of the past. And in week three, this is where we do a very deep dive into my clients' past so they can look at how they got to where they are. They've got to look at the repeating patterns and mistakes they've been making, or they won't be able to move forward, because those mistakes or those patterns will keep repeating until they identify them and break them. So that's what we do in week three. I want you to hear what this client wrote. She said, "Hi, Lisa. I'm doing well. I'm on week three, module three. I am learning so much. I believe knowing how we behaved destructively in relationships and why makes it so much easier to stop repeating those behaviors. In the past, I used to think I was broken and I couldn't see how to change or what to change to improve my relationships. Now I'm seeing what I do, why I do it, where it comes from, and how I can take action to change it. I know it's not an overnight change, but knowing the what makes the how to change so much easier. These exercises," and I really want you all to hear this, "these exercises are like years worth of therapy. It's so much more constructive. In therapy, you just wander around your feelings and there isn't necessarily a goal. With your class, it's clear what the goal is and how we are going to get there. I love it. Love and joy always." And then she signed it. How amazing is that? With my class, it's clear what the goal is and how a client is going to get there. It is a step-by-step plan for finding love. Your therapist can't do this for you. Your mother, your sisters, your girlfriends, they cannot give you a step-by-step roadmap for finding true love. That's where I come in. I give you that plan. I help you stop going through the motions. I don't know if any of you have stopped and looked at the number of years you have been out there. I spoke with a woman, a young woman, a gorgeous woman this morning. She's living in Turkey, and she said to me it had been 13 years since her divorce. She was 31 years old when she divorced, and she's now 44 years old. And in that time, she has been going through the motions. She'll meet a guy and cross her fingers and hope that it goes somewhere. Every single time these guys turn around and say, "Oh, I don't want to get married. I don't want a long-term relationship, yada, yada, yada," whatever they say, she just keeps going through the same scenario. It's like a record. How many of you remember actual albums when there was a scratch? The needle would just keep skipping every time it went back over that groove. It never moved forward. It never moved backwards. It just stayed stuck in that endless cycle, going through the motions, right? Over and over and over again, getting nowhere, nowhere. That's what you're doing. You're wasting precious time, precious time. I can show you how to stop going through the motions in your love life and just wasting time. Crossing your fingers, hoping for a miracle, telling yourself, "Oh my God, one of the worst things of all that we are doing today, all of the new age psychobabble." It's really, you know, you can take these new age concepts, and what happens is we do something called spiritual bypass. Spiritual bypass is when you put a glossy, happy spin on something. Oh, every relationship has been a learning experience. And with each relationship, I'm learning something new. Well, of course you better be. I mean, God, I hope so. But how much longer do you want to keep going from relationship to relationship to relationship, having more learning experiences? Or do you want to just get this solved? I understand you all have great lives. You're happy. You've got wonderful friends. You might have a wonderful home and a great job. But the truth is, you don't want to keep wasting beautiful, precious years of your life alone trying to figure this out. You want to find your guy. You just want it solved. You want to cross meet my soulmate off your to-do list. I can't even tell you how gratifying that is to actually meet the man you know you're going to spend the rest of your life with. And here's the thing. You can keep going through one learning experience after another, trying to stay positive and optimistic and telling yourself, you know, I'm a positive person and I'm not going to dwell on the negative. I'm not telling you to dwell on the negative, but I am inviting you to be realistic. I'm inviting you to take a deep breath and to really get honest with yourself about how many years you've been having learning experiences in this part of your life and how many more years of your life you want to keep doing that. One of my favorite bumper stickers of all time says, oh no, or it's like, oh God, no, not another learning experience. We're going to have learning experiences throughout our lives. You'll keep growing and learning from your life experiences. That will never stop. But there does come a time in life where you sit back and you say to yourself, all right, I just want to effing get this solved. I just want a solution. I want a way out. I want a step-by-step plan for finding love so that by Christmas time this year, I have my guy. I can go home for the holidays and say, Mom, Dad, I met him. Look, there he is. I don't have to worry on New Year's Eve if I'm going to be alone, if I'm going to be sitting in my apartment by myself, or if I'm going to be going with my other single girlfriends or being the third wheel with another couple because my best friend is married and she doesn't want me to be alone. So she invited me to go with her and her husband for New Year's Eve. You can get this solved. How do I do that? When I say I give you a step-by-step plan, I want you to think about what that would look like. Like, what would a step-by-step plan look like? What would that be? What would you need to have in a real roadmap for finding love? What would that roadmap need to contain? Well, the first thing you have to do is hit the pause button. You need to stop dating. Not for a long time, but if you're putting the right pieces of the puzzle together, then you need to take a month off of dating. In that month, we look at your self-love, your self-esteem. It takes a beating when you keep going from one disappointment to another in your love life and you're feeling like a failure. And come on, let's be real. You may suffer in silence, but many of you feel like you're failing in this part of your lives. And it sucks because you know you're fabulous. You know you can do anything else you put your mind to except get this solved. That's the biggest thing. And it sucks because in many ways, what does it matter if you have all the success in the world and no one to share it with? You got money in the bank. You could go travel. You could do wonderful things, explore great restaurants and have parties, but you have no one to do it with. And it gets old having to find a friend every time you want to go out or do something or go see the latest James Bond movie or go to a Halloween party that you were invited to. You want to get dressed up with your guy, find some fun costumes, you know, and go in as a cute couple. You don't want to walk in there by yourself, hoping, crossing your fingers again and hoping maybe you meet some cute guy there. So we work on your self-love, your self-worth, and your self-esteem. I teach you how to go on a date and be able to sit across from a man and recognize the signs very quickly, whether he is emotionally blocked and unavailable or whether his heart is really open for a loving, connected, lasting relationship. Then we look at your past. Week three, right? We look at your past. We look at how you got here, the repeating patterns, the mistakes that you keep making. And then we look at how to break those mistakes. I help you create something I call your final five. Your final five are the five qualities you must have in a partner or you can't date him. And those five qualities are pattern breakers. They're not five things you pull out of thin air. They're based on your past, the things that you settled for or compromised on that you must have. We give up a lot of things that we want in a relationship, thinking that, well, if I compromise here or I settle here, maybe I'll get most of what I really want. All that happens is we know we're settling and those things come back to bite us. And so going forward, you can't keep doing that. And so these final five, women come back to me all the time who have met their guy and they will say, Lisa, the final five was brilliant. Then you got to get back out in the dating world, but in a whole new way. So I was a professional fashion photographer for 15 years. I lived in Milan, Italy. I shot for some very big magazines. Many of them are magazines you all would be familiar with. So I look at your existing dating photos. I don't care how good they are. I am looking for a very specific kind of photo. So I will guide you on how to get the right photographs. I'm not just making this stuff up or pulling data from other coaches. I'm talking from real experience as a professional. A man is going to fall in love with you physically first. He is going to fall in love with the way you look. We don't want glamour shots. That's not what I'm looking for. But I will guide you on the right kind of photographs. My husband will help you choose the photographs. We are not men. We do not know what will appeal to a man. You need a man to really help you with that. And then my husband writes your online dating profiles. He writes a short one for the apps and he writes a longer one for the dating websites. Those profiles are game changers, game changers. Anybody who thinks men don't read the online dating profiles has not had a profile written by Benjamin. His profiles are so beautiful that they will scare off the men that you don't want to write to you. Those men will read the profile and they will think, oh my God, I will be so in over my head with her. I can't even go down that road. And it will attract the ones that you're really interested in. Benjamin is a man who is the most heartfelt. He lives in his heart and he is a brilliant writer. He's not some dude writing, you know, even a lot of the male dating coaches who claim to write profiles for you. You have to think about who these guys are because that's exactly what they're going to help you attract, men like them. Benjamin is heartfelt and men melt when they read his profiles. In fact, they will say things like, oh my God, I read your profile three times. Are you for real? And when can I meet you? That's the kind of response these profiles get. And that is the other thing women will say. Your final five helped me recognize him, and Benjamin's profile helped him recognize me. It's really quite extraordinary. And then you get back out into the dating world, and we watch you start dating. So for 2 months, you work with us, and we are on it. This is not a therapy course. This is a coaching course. This is a step-by-step solution. We are not here to do therapy. You can go see a therapist for that. Not knocking therapy, but it's a whole different thing. Working with a coach is an actual solution. We are solution-oriented. That's what coaches do. They help you solve a major life issue. So you get back out in the dating world and Benjamin and I will help you talk to men, ask for what you want and need in a relationship, We will help you get into your heart. We'll show you how to be vulnerable, how to do this in a very feminine way. I work with women not on leaning back and letting men chase you and all of that BS, which I think is demeaning and ridiculous in today's day and age. I show you how to take what I call the feminine lead. You have to lead. You have to. There is just a difference in the way a woman leads and in the way a man leads. But don't think for one second I'm going to ask you to sit on your hands and wait for men to pursue you. I am going to show you how to encourage men to pursue you. And it's a beautiful, beautiful process. It really is. And that dream, that beautiful dream that lives in your heart, the one that many of you have gotten so disappointed and discouraged that you're afraid to articulate, that dream is what I can help you find. That's what I do. But this isn't about, reading an article or listening to some love coach and then going, okay, I need to be more feminine. All right. And then putting on an act. The work that you do with Benjamin and me is from the inside out. Our process is a transformational process. It works from the inside. So when you work with me, you will be so in your heart. You'll be so genuine. You'll have such a beautiful, rich, deep understanding of men. We help you gain insight into men. In fact, for those of you who really want to see Benjamin and me together, we do 2 episodes of my podcast each week. We do a second episode called Getting Inside the Right Male Mind, and that's with Benjamin and me. So in that episode, which is every week, we produce a new episode of that particular podcast. In that episode, I talk to Benjamin and I get him to open up about the male experience. What do men go through? What is their journey like? What do men want women to know about their life experience? It is a whole different ballgame to be a man. And most women really minimize what that experience is like. Having a beautiful, deep understanding of what men go through is going to open up your heart to men. We hear so many negative stories about men. We hear about all the ones who are abusive and manipulative. We hear all the bad things in the press with the Me Too movement. We've been inundated as women with negative messages about men and male behavior. But there are truly great and good men out there who are looking for love, who are looking for exceptional, extraordinary women who understand them and who know how to be in a relationship with them and not make it all about her. This is one of the problems. Men are givers and women are receivers. And very often when I listen to women talk, I will hear them talk about, you know, all their expectations about what men are supposed to do for them. But it is equally as important that we know what a man needs from us and that we are able to give it to him. And many, many women don't really stop to think about what that is or ask the man. And the truth is, a lot of us don't even know how to articulate what we're looking for. But it is extremely important as a woman that you understand what that man sitting across from you needs. I know that when I was dating, I became a realist. I realized that there were things about male behavior that were hard for me to swallow. It was, you know, let's just take the fact that men are physically attracted to us. That's how they fall in love with us first. We have to be their physical type. I struggled with my appearance my whole life. I felt, you know, I was overweight. I didn't feel I was beautiful. I really struggled with my appearance and with body image issues. It was very threatening to me, especially being in a city like Los Angeles, where there are gorgeous women everywhere you look. I mean, we're talking about tens. I don't know of a city on the planet where there are as many stunningly beautiful women as there are in LA. That was really threatening to me. And so I did two things. The first is I really worked on my appearance. You know, I really faced my issues about my weight because it really was something that I was so uncomfortable with. And so I addressed my weight issues. I took some very serious measures and got help to be able to do that, to be able to lose weight and get in shape and look good and feel good about my appearance. But I also started to ask myself, why are men so caught up in physical appearance? Why is that so important to men? And I really thought about, from a male perspective, why is that so? You know, for men, why is it so important that a woman look a certain way? And I realized that it all comes down to sexual attraction. A woman can fall in love with a man's character, and she doesn't have to necessarily be turned on by his physical appearance. She can fall in love with him through his personality, and he will become more physically attractive to her. But for men, they have to be able to get an erection. So that immediate physical turn on has to be there. It has to be, or they cannot get physically aroused. And it's one thing if a man is dating a woman and it's all new and fresh, or he's pursuing her or whatever. But in the long run, she has to be his physical type or it won't work. He has to be physically turned on by her over and over and over again, or it just won't work. And so for me, once I realized that, and I got realistic about it. And I also realized that there were plenty of men who were physically attracted to me, and that those were the men I had to start to look at. I have to say, my husband is extremely handsome. And if I look back over some of the men I did date over the years, they were actually more attractive than I really knew at the time. So I never gave myself much credit, or somehow I think I would tell myself they were attracted to me for my money or whatever, and I would discount the attraction. But the truth was, I think these men were very attracted to me. I just didn't believe it. And so I discounted it. I minimized the attraction. But I got very realistic about attraction and men, and I started to look at things from a male perspective and ask myself, why do men do these things? And instead of judging them, I started to build compassion for them. So this is another thing that you're going to learn from me. I hope anybody who's listening is getting how much there is to really learn about how to pick the right partner, how to attract a man, how to make a man feel comfortable when he's with you. We leave all this stuff up to chance. We just think that chemistry and love are somehow these magic, you know, ingredients that are just going to do the work for us. And the truth is, I can give you a step-by-step plan to get this solved so that you're not just wasting more time and going through the motions. All right, ladies, I am Lisa Shield. If you want to know how to do that, go to lisashield.com. Watch my free 45-minute presentation. If you like what you hear, listen all the way to the end, because that's where you can sign up for a call. You can also write to me if you want me to cover a particular topic. You can also like and rate my podcast wherever you get your podcast. So please tell your friends. There are very few love coaches out there who are doing what I do, who say what I say, who don't talk to women like they're 15-year-old girls, but treat you all as grown adults, as the beautiful, sophisticated, successful, brilliant women that you are. Thank you so much for being here, ladies. It is a pleasure. Thank you for supporting me. I send you so much love, and I will see you next week. Bye-bye. Have a wonderful rest of your day.